No one fucks me.
What was that? That was Joey. Caught once again, mouthing off, unaware that he was within range of a hot microphone. The audio could have been better, but there's no mistaking his words. Nobody fucks with a Biden. That's what he said. Few people seem to understand just how telling and ominous that statement is. They lump it together with a mountain of moronic musings from the creepiest, most mendacious politician ever to occupy the White House. But they shouldn't. With those five words, he revealed more about himself than all his past gibberish and falsehoods combined. He's been an oratory disaster for his entire career. When he wasn't stealing the speeches from other people like Robert F. Kennedy, he was telling outrageous lies from scholastic achievements he never reached to degrees he never earned, even jobs he never held.
I am a hard coal miner. Anthracite coal, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Okay, that's where I was born and raised. And it's nice to be back in coal country.
Wow. Who knew Joey was a coal miner? Nobody. Because he never was.
I used to drive an 18-wheeler, man.
You hear that? When he visited the Mack truck factory, he said he, quote, used to drive an 18-wheeler, man, unquote. You know, when Joey has on his big boy blue collar, I'm one of the guys' pants, he calls everybody man. So street, so hip. Maybe he thinks he's a jazz beau, wears a beret and a stick-on goatee when he's alone at the White House. How could we ever forget his epic throwdown with the bad dude, Corn Pop?
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys, and he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up, he said, you walk out with that chain, and you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
He was also a studly lifeguard.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Kids at the town pool couldn't stop themselves from rubbing his hairy legs, which gave him an appreciation for roaches and kids jumping on his lap. You could fill gigabytes with clips of Joey's bullshit stories. Even his most ardent cheerleaders are beginning to tire of his crap. But because it's Joey, they cut him endless slack. Dig this headline from the New York Times, quote, Biden, storyteller-in-chief, spins yards that often unravel, unquote. So see, he's not a liar. He's the storyteller-in-chief. He does not lie. He spins yards, same as Grandpa or goofy old Uncle Louie. So hey, kids, rub the hair on his ankles, then brush the roaches off his trousers and hop on his lap. He likes kids on his lap. It's story time. If Trump misquoted a statistic by a tenth of a percent, well, he was a scurrilous liar. But Joey spews insane shit, like the drunk at the corner bar. And he's just spinning yarns. Maybe he's having an identity crisis. He's a coal miner, a trucker, a brawler, a president. But what does he really want to be when he grows up? In a few days, he'll be 80 years old. He'd better figure it out. But maybe he told us his true calling with that most recent boast.
No one fucks with Biden.
That's the real Joe Biden right there. Everything else is the corkscrew musings of an old man who's had not one but two brain surgeries. That statement is the most frightening thing he or any U.S. president has ever said. It should terrify every American and everyone on the planet. Hang on, and I'll tell you why.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Come on, Larry.
Larry. An old bromide says you cannot conceal poverty or ill health. That's true. And no matter how people, especially politicians, try to camouflage their true selves, they eventually give themselves away. As Joey did, finally, when he said, "Nobody fucks with a Biden." No matter how civilized man becomes, no matter how complex the technology, we're all still flesh and blood. And though our instincts are suppressed by so-called civilization, they will never be eliminated. Two of those instincts people and most animals have are threat assessment and situational awareness. Those who cultivate and act on those instincts are rarely, if ever, victims. Now, men and women assess threats differently. Women who are wise and wary, are always cognizant of their surroundings and try to avoid places and people who might present a danger. When she waits for an elevator in a deserted parking structure, the doors slide open to reveal someone who looks like a homicidal maniac. A woman who heeds her God-given instincts does not take that elevator. A woman who suppresses those instincts hops on because she doesn't want to judge a book by its cover and hurt that person's feelings. She takes her next ride in a coroner's van. Most guys, when entering an unknown environment, could be a bar, shopping mall, sporting event, they are constantly evaluating other men on a very simple, primitive basis. If it came to a violent confrontation, could he kick the other guy's ass? That evaluation is not based solely on physical attributes, height, weight, physique. There's a lot more nuance to it. As the adage says, it's not the dog in the fight, it's the fight in the dog. Some guys compensate for small stature with raw ferocity. Some compensate with a pistol or a knife. But all of us send signals to the world by the way we dress, walk, talk, our posture, the look on our faces. Are we easy prey? Or someone not to be fucked with? Growing up in New York City, becoming adept at sizing up other people was essential to survival. After a while, you can get to be pretty good at it. See a bar fight brewing and predict the flashpoint and outcome. Confucius said that every fight is won or lost before the first punch is ever thrown. That's what he was talking about. So what's the message Biden sends as a potential adversary? Laughable. A punk. A blowhard. The kind of guy who talks tough only when he knows his bodyguards are very close by.
They asked me, would I like to debate this gentleman? And I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
That statement was his answer when he was asked if he wanted to debate Trump. Wonder if Joey would have his chain with him, the one he was going to use to lay out that bad dude Corn Pop. When you put Biden's retroactive threat against Trump together with nobody fucks with Biden, it becomes very, very clear that Joey thinks he's a tough guy. A gangster. Who says shit like that? He probably heard it in a gangster movie. I've known a gangster, or three. One was a pretty close friend when I lived in New York. Tony Spumante. Tony's father was the number two or three guy in one of the five families. And it was not the Bonanos or Lucchese families. And that's all I'll say about that. Through Tony, I met a number of very, very tough guys. Come to think of it, I recorded a number of shows about my friendship with Tony Spumante, which, of course, is not his real name. Episode number 2, New Year's with a Mob, way back in December 2016 at ThatLarryShow.com. It's one of my favorite shows. Every word of it was true. One of the strangest and most memorable nights of my life. I chronicled some more adventures with Tony in a bunch of other episodes. Episode 49, Halloween with a Mob, found me with Tony at Houdini's gravesite. And there was very nearly another grave to be dug. That's in the October 2017 tab. There are other shows featuring Tony. You can find them all at the homepage. So yeah, I knew a number of dudes that were quite tough. Had I not met them with Tony and just happened to observe them as strangers in a crowded bar, I'd have been damn sure not to spill a drink on them or stare at their girlfriends. Some were stone psychos. Some just radiated a malicious don't fuck with me vibe. Guys you want to avoid and not get into any kind of confrontation with them. I never heard Tony or any of his mob associates say anything like, "Nobody fucks with a insert Italian family name." They didn't have to, but Joey does. Because Joey is not a tough guy. And his innate cowardice has nothing to do with his advanced age. Even in his youth, he was an obvious punk and a blowhard, all swagger and bluster. True tough guys are part born and part made. And the way they get tough is through real combat. There is no substitute. The more fights they have and win, the tougher they get. Has Joey ever been in a fight? Very unlikely. Despite his truck driving and coal mining bullshit, he was raised in an upper middle class family. By the time he was in college, copying term papers, the Vietnam War was in full swing, and Joey's family connections managed to secure him five, count them, five, draft deferments. So he missed out on fighting in the service. The reason given for his deferments was asthma, as a teenager. Yet, he frequently claims he was a football star in college. Do you know any football stars with asthma? He graduated law school as number 76 out of 85, despite being caught plagiarizing material for his term papers. Then it was off to the Senate. And it's been limousines and unstoppable government paychecks and Cadillac benefits and bodyguards ever since. Has Joey ever, in his entire life, thrown or taken a punch? Very unlikely. Which is a big reason he feels compelled to talk tough. He has a lot to prove to himself about his manhood. And that's what makes him so fucking dangerous. Vlad Putin does not appear to be a man with anything to prove. Vlad's mom was a cook and his dad was a sailor, so Vlad was no silver spooner. He bootstrapped himself, got a law degree and a PhD. He took up judo at age 11 and holds an 8th Dan black belt. He rides motorcycles, hunts, and plays hockey. Well, then there was his career in the KGB. Has Vlad ever thrown or taken a punch? How could he not? From the look of him, Vlad may have choked out more than one guy with his bare hands. He exudes quiet confidence, maybe with an edge of menace, because he is very likely a very tough guy. Nobody to fuck with. Don't spill his drink. Don't stare at his woman. Vlad is an accomplished dude. He's also one of the richest men on earth, with an estimated fortune in excess of $40 billion. By comparison, Joey's purported net worth of $9 to $14 million is chump change. But still, curiously robust for someone whose government income never exceeded $230,000 a year. Which makes one wonder about the phrase Biden crime family and 10% for the big guy. In short, Vlad Putin is everything Joey is not but would like to be. So, Joey insults and taunts and mocks him at every opportunity, blames him for the American recession and inflation, the price of energy, calls them Putin's price hikes. All those hardships were engineered by Joey and his moronic policies. Putin had nothing to do with any of them. Vlad must laugh his ass off at Joey. But he's probably not laughing about Joey funding Ukraine in this proxy war. And for the record, the United States government had no obligations whatsoever, through treaties or otherwise, to help Ukraine in any way. None. It's merely because Joey wants to. Wonder how Vlad feels, knowing much of the ordnance killing his soldiers is being provided by Joey. He's probably pretty pissed off. Who wouldn't be? And some assholes in our government are now cavalierly talking about nuclear weapons. New York City is running idiotic TV commercials telling citizens how to prepare for a nuke strike. U.S. Health and Human Services just paid Amgen $290 million for some bushels of anti-radiation pills in case of nuclear emergency. Gee, wonder what they mean by that. Vlad has recently made a statement about the use of atomic weapons. Here it is in Russian.
А те, кто пытаются шантажировать нас ядерным оружием, должны знать, что роза ветров может развернуться и в их сторону.
The translation is, those who try to blackmail us with nuclear weapons should know the wind can turn their way. That's fucking poetic. That's how a guy talks who is prepared to defend his nation. That's not, nobody fucks with a Putin, or I'll kick Joey's ass behind the gym in high school after we get in a time machine. Where will this all net out? Joey hasn't challenged Vlad to a personal throwdown, now or in the past or future. It's pretty obvious why. Even through the oatmeal his skull encases, he knows quite well what the outcome would be. But that doesn't mean he wouldn't have the rest of us fight his battle for him, because that's what punks do. And if it didn't go so well, he's got tunnels and bunkers and mountain hideaways and God knows what else. Do you have any of that stuff? Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to the show page, thatlarryshow.com, for hundreds more episodes, especially those Tony Spumante ones. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss one. If you like what you just heard, send a link to a friend and leave a 5-star review wherever you download. If you really like what you heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and support the show. There's also a post office box address if you prefer the anonymity of the U.S. mail. Follow us between episodes on Twitter, Facebook. You'll find links to those as well as an email address if you want to write, all at thatlarryshow.com. There's even a phone number if you want to leave a voice message. My friends, our country is in the hands of an angry, weak old man, tormented by his own inadequacies. His outsized ego is swollen by imaginary fights and accomplishments that never happened. This is a recipe for disaster. And his second in command is no better. You can't make this shit up. But you can come back and hang with me next Wednesday or thereabouts at thatlarryshow.com. We'll see what new peril Joey creates for us. Until that time, take no shit.